I just want to share a few scriptures and a few thoughts that have really helped me to develop deep convictions in this area and to have my heart in the right place with it. And I know this has been said, but it's so important to get this now.
Amen.
And I know it might be tempting to think about, okay, well, the rest of the church kind of carries most of the weight, right? Like, the campus ministry is not where most of the funds come from.
Right.
And so maybe some of you could talk to your parents. But but we need to talk about it because we are the future of the church, right? But we've got to be grateful too, because it's the generosity and the sacrifice of older disciples in the church that makes what we get to be part of possible.
Amen.
Right? Your giving would maybe not be enough for us to even rent the spaces we use, let enough our staff and interns and all the stuff we have at our events and helping fund you going to a retreat, you know, that subsidized cost that comes from somewhere. It's not me, you know. So, you know, we got to be grateful for the generosity, right? But then we've got to ask ourselves, will you become those people one day?
Amen.
Will you be the future of the church that will fund the future campus ministry? Will they have campus ministers based on your giving one day? Will they have an event space? Will they be able to go to the retreat? And the answer to that really is decided now with the heart that you have now and the practices that you start now, even if it's in the baby version. Does that make sense?
Right.
But this is a matter of the heart. And so just a few scriptures I want to give you, and I'll give you a few sentences about them. But you need to study them out more on your own because I can't fully cover them all. But Jesus in Matthew 6, 19 to 21 says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And in case you think he's not talking about money, in verse 24 he says, "You cannot serve both God and money." Right? Our treasure. We value our money because that's what the world puts value on. But the Bible says, where your treasure is, your heart is also there. And so you got to look at, where do you spend your money? Where do you put your money? And that tells you where your heart is, what you're most invested in. And obviously we need to spend money on food and on our education and on hobbies and all that stuff. But if you only spend money there and you don't give to the church, then it's saying that your heart is not really with God's church,
right,
with God's mission. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. But this also means that your heart will follow your treasure. And so where you invest yourself, it's like you buy a car and now all of a sudden you're worried about the car because you invested in it. Oh, it's going to get a scratch, right? Like, wherever you invest your treasure, your heart follows it. And so giving to the church and giving to God also helps you put your heart even more so into God and to his church. And so where you put your treasure reveals where your heart is, and also your heart will follow where you put your treasure. I think as a conviction that you need to have is that if you get something, then you should give something. And if you give nothing, it's saying something.
Right. There you go.
If you give nothing, what is that saying? It's saying your heart isn't really here. And you don't want to stand before God with your heart not really with him, right? And so if you get something, you should give something. And I really think if you get the kingdom of God, if you get how valuable what we have is, if you get how important the work is that we need to do, then you'll want to give something. Amen? So as I said, we need to get this now. The truth is, a change of income won't make you more generous automatically. It is a change of heart that will make you more generous. More money will only make you more tempted with greed. So when you get that better salary one day, you're not going to suddenly be generous. You need to be generous before you get it. So work on greed now. If you're going to dream about making more money, dream about it so that you can give more money.
Amen.
That's a conviction that I gained recently. I was convicted on, I shouldn't want more to have more. I should want more so I can give more.
Wow.
So another passage is Mark chapter 12. You guys with me still?
Yes, sir.
So as a campus ministry, what should our goal and vision be when it comes to giving contribution. And I think Mark 12 is a good passage to frame what our goal should be. In Mark 12, verse 41 to 44, it says, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Think about how you would give if you knew Jesus was watching. And he is. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came. A poor campus student came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. This poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, poverty. I have two young boys. Put in everything, all she had to live on. Right? Isn't this woman inspiring? She was poor. She only had two coins, but she put in all she got. And so I think a good goal for us is to give despite your little. Don't let your little be an excuse not to give. And know that God is pleased all the same and maybe even more than those who have more and give more than that. Amen. Right? But give something. Amen. Put in a little, even if a little is all you got. Like, guys, unless you have literally zero income, we should all give something. And even if you have no income, you probably spend money, which means if you had a little self-control, you could spend a little bit less of that money and give a little bit of that. But it's got to be unacceptable for any of us to come before God empty-handed. It says this multiple times in the Bible. One of them is Deuteronomy 16:16. God says, "Do not appear before me empty-handed." That's not right. God doesn't appear before any of us empty-handed. He's given to all of us. We all should give back. So if you make money or you spend money, you should give money to God as well. And I do want to say that our mindset needs to be with this, that we're not, when we give to God, we give to the church, we're not giving charity, right? We're not, it's like, oh, I'll make a donation to this charity. No, we're giving back to the God who gave us everything we have. We're giving to support the cause of his kingdom. Right? This is not like, oh, it's a donation to charity. No, we have a responsibility and an opportunity. And so it's a whole lot more than just that. Amen? Amen. The other verse I'm going to read is Malachi 3, which I didn't know that Al was going to mention, but I was going to read the part he mentioned but didn't read, so I'll complete the whole loop here. But in Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, it says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe," which is a tenth, "into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates." You know, God is saying here, will a man rob God, yet you rob me? They ask, how do we rob you? He says, by not giving back to me, by not giving to me. You know, I don't know if any of you in your past, hopefully not in your present, have ever wrestled with stealing at all. But shamefully, this was something that I gave into a lot as a minor. And so I knew I wouldn't get in as much trouble as I would once I hit 18. So, but this was something I gave into. And if any of you have done this, then you know the dread of having something in your person or your pocket that you were stealing and walking out of the store with that on your person. Yeah. And there's just a panic and you're like, I gotta get out of here, okay. You know, but you don't really feel safe until it's the next day and maybe a day after that. You're afraid of the security, of the employees, of the owner, right? You know that you are robbing someone. And so there's fear there. Right? There's a fear of being caught in that. How many of us rob God by not giving and don't feel any fear about that? You give nothing to God's kingdom and you're not afraid. And yet you are robbing God. How are we robbing him? By not giving back to him. You know, we have that fear about worldly authorities. We need to respect God a whole lot more and be more generous back to him. Amen? The last verse I want to read here is from 2 Corinthians, and all of chapter 8 and 9 are about giving, and so much, you know, to read all of both of those chapters has such incredible stuff in it. But 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7 is a great insight into it because, you know, despite how you feel about what I just said, really giving should come from and needs to come from a place of gratitude and a place of joy. And when you get your heart in the right place, like we all, there's things all of us love and you spend money on and you don't even really care because of how excited you are about that thing, right? Maybe it's a shirt, maybe it's an updated phone, maybe it's a new pair of shoes or whatever. There's stuff that we're like, I'm fine with paying for this meal because it's so good, right? And the more we understand how good God is and the kingdom of God is, then the more we'll just be glad we get to give towards it. And I love in 2 Corinthians 8 here, and that's why this is a heart issue. If you don't have the heart to give, that's where you got to look at it and go, well, why don't I have enough eagerness to give? What's the disconnect here? But in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 7, it says, but just as you excel in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge and complete earnestness and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I love this phrase, this grace of giving. It is by God's grace that we get to give to support these causes. Yeah. Like, who are we as sinners that we get to give to build God's kingdom? You know, I think about how I viewed money and used money as a non-Christian, right? I used it for myself. I stole it. I used it greedily. I used it on sin. I've blown it when it comes to money. I don't deserve for God to trust me with money. And really, I don't deserve to get to spend money building God's kingdom. And yet, because of God's grace, God says, I forgive you. And now I'm going to give to you. And out of that grace, I get to decide, what am I going to do with that? And what an opportunity. Wow, God, thank you for saving me. Thank you for changing me. Thank you for trusting me still. Let me give some of this back. Let me give. I spent money on sin. Let me spend money on saving. And not saving for myself, on saving souls, on saving the world, right? And so look what we get to use our money for instead. What an honor. How awesome it is that instead of putting another 20 into my closet, putting another 20, and I don't mean literally my closet, your wardrobe, putting another 20 into a video game, another 20 into a hobby, another 20 into building the kingdom of God. And then I view that as, oh, I got to give this. But view it as, wow, I get to spend money on this. And what a joy to see God using it and blessing it and know that I'm pleasing him in this way. Amen?
Amen.
You know, you could keep going into chapter 9 and it talks more about how we can't give, you know, under compulsion or reluctantly, but that God loves a cheerful giver. And I think that should be all of our goal, is to be a cheerful giver, to give something and to be a cheerful giver, to give from the heart. And, you know, it's going to be a sacrifice. It's going to be hard, but it could still be a joy. And you could still give in a way that's trusting God and not having it be a burden. So I hope these were some helpful things for you guys quick.
Yeah.
Dig into these scriptures more. I barely touched on them. Dig into the scriptures they shared more. But let's all decide to check our hearts and decide that we're not going to rob God by giving nothing, but we're going to give back to God by giving something. And we're going to build these convictions now so we could carry the church in the future and give a whole lot to God, to what he's trying to do now and for the rest of our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, guys.